We often sing this time of year, O come all you faithful. I'm glad that God also calls the unfaithful, those who don't have it all together. The truth is, that's where all of us are at, isn't it? Yet I'm so glad that Jesus came to save us, and not because we deserved it, but because it was in spite of us. We don't deserve it. But thank God that he came. And that was a beautiful, beautiful song and a good reminder for us during this season. Well, if you're in your Bibles in Luke chapter number 2, say amen.
Amen.
Now, all of you are wondering, what in the world Brother Wyatt's doing over here?
I'm
thirsty. Yep. I think that he thinks I need a drink of water or something. All right, now we'll get to what he's doing back there in just a minute. But Luke chapter 2, let's read our text of Scripture, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus, and all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Let's pray together and ask God's blessing on our time in the Scriptures. Our Father, we come before you. We thank you, God, for the opportunity we have to once again open the Holy Scriptures that you've given to us, your message, your good news to us. And I pray, Lord, today that as we labor to learn some truth from this passage of Scripture, that you would open up our minds and our hearts, that we would be willing to listen intently and to respond willingly to whatever it is that you speak to our hearts about. And I believe that the message today is unique and very needed. And I pray that each one of us will get what we need from your word. And I pray that each one of us would be willing to respond. And Lord, perhaps one of the greatest gifts that we can give to you this Christmas is our willingness to give our lives to your purposes. And I pray that would be the willing response of our hearts as we hear your word today. We do pray for those people gathered with us who may know the Christmas story in their heads, but they've never believed on it in their hearts. I pray that today would be the day that you convict them of their sin and help them realize that Christ was not just born for the world, but Christ was born for them, to save them from their sin. And I pray that today would be the day of salvation for some who still need to make that decision. Encourage all of our hearts through the Scriptures, we pray. Challenge us and help us to remember that you are the reason that we celebrate this season and every season. And so, Lord, I pray for power to preach, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, this Christmas season, we have been in a series about the gift exchange. And we have noticed already several times throughout this season, several spiritual exchanges that God wants you to make during this season of the year. Of course, the first week we looked at how you can exchange your stress for peace. And some of you, your stress is really mounting the closer we get to Christmas Day. You heard Wyatt say that it's December 22nd and you realize, oh, I should probably go Christmas shopping. All right, how many of you are the Christmas planners in here? All right, you have your Christmas presents bought in July. How many, let's see who you are, okay? All right, maybe not some of you that, but how many of you say, I generally, Pastor, I'm pretty prepared for Christmas, all right? Just be honest with me. All right, well, the most of you aren't. This is terrible, okay? How many of you say, Pastor, I'm the guy that shamefully goes to Walmart at 8 o'clock on Christmas Eve trying to get it done, all right? Just go ahead and admit it, all right? We know who you are, all right? God bless you guys, all right? I'll be praying for you on Christmas Eve, all right? But anyways, you can exchange your stress for peace. The next week, we looked at how you can exchange your sorrow with joy. And some of you are really struggling with sorrow in your heart. You can exchange it with joy when you find it in Jesus. Last week, we looked at how you can exchange your despair for hope. What an important truth that is. All of us can have hope when we find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. But today, we're going to look at how you can exchange your busyness for stillness. Now, this is a unique message. And here's the big idea that I want us to get as we study the Scriptures together this morning. You need to give God your hurry and receive His rest. All right? I want us to think of this together. Let's say this out loud together. Give God your hurry and receive His rest. This isn't a typical Christmas message, and yet I believe it is one that's very important for us to hear, and God has convinced my heart of it. Christmas is often one of the most busy times of the year. And it really doesn't matter what stage of life you're in. You've got all kinds of activities and festivities and family gatherings and gatherings with friends and gatherings with people in your workplace. And there are all kinds of activities that you're expected to be a part of. And it just seems like it's a never-ending season of busy activity. Would it surprise you if I told you that the first Christmas was also very busy? I want you to think about it with me. We just read the Christmas story, but Mary was pregnant full term. I mean, the baby was going to be coming at any time. And it was during that season of their lives that the Bible tells us that Joseph was demanded to return back to his hometown of Bethlehem, a journey of 100 miles from where they were currently living, mind you, in a time when travel was not convenient. So he had to load up his very pregnant wife on whatever kind of transportation they may have had, be it a horse or a donkey or a camel or whatever it may have been. She may have had to walk the whole way. I don't know. But they had to hustle off from their hometown, a journey of 100 miles. Now, some of you ladies that have been full-term pregnant, would you like to walk 100 miles that pregnant? I dare say you wouldn't. No wonder she had the baby as soon as they arrived, okay? But they had to journey all this way. And when they finally got there, they go to try to find a place to stay, and there's no place to stay. And tradition tells us that the innkeeper offered his stable, but we don't actually know where they found the stable. I actually kind of think that they just found a random stable that wasn't being very, very used, and they decided, well, this is better than nothing. And they loaded up in that place. And when they arrived in Bethlehem, there's no place to stay, and lo and behold, now it's time to have the baby. They're just trying to find a place with a roof over their head, be able to bring the Christ child into the world. And so suffice it to say, it was a very crazy busy night, the night that Jesus Christ entered into this world. And as I think about our lives today, as busy as that night was, we also understand that our lives tend to be very busy. And it seems like every person that I talk to, when I ask them how they're doing this time of season, they inevitably say busy. It's just a busy season. And as Americans, in particular, we struggle with the disease of hurrying everywhere we go. Richard Swenson, in his work on the subject, noted several ways that we're overloaded in our contemporary American society. Let me give you some of these. He mentioned that we have activity overload. We are booked up weeks in advance, have no time for anything else. We have choice overload. We are bombarded with thousands of options. You go to buy a particular thing and you go online to look for it, and now you have to choose from hundreds and hundreds of different options. And well, you don't know which one the best one is. We have commitment overload. Too many appointments, too many jobs, too many volunteer tasks that we've signed ourselves up for, and now we have no room to breathe. We have debt overload. America is the largest debtor nation in the world, and it enslaves us. We have education overload. We're in the information age today. We're being continually bombarded with information that we could not possibly assimilate all of it. We have fatigue overload. We get up early. We stay up late. And it causes us to get wore out very quickly on the outside. We have hurry overload. We walk fast. We talk fast. We eat fast because we always got something we need to be doing. We have media overload. The television, our phones, our tablets, our computers, they dominate our time. And they rob us of things that are certainly more important. And so you know as well as I do the demands that are placed upon our lives as citizens in this country, as people in this world. And I know that you can sense exactly what I'm talking about. I certainly feel it, and I know I'm not the only person who feels the enslavement of our culture to try to get us to stay busy all the time. And so I dare say that the busyness of our society has impacted your life in more ways than what you even may fully understand right now. And I'll say this, the lack of margin in our lives is the leading contributor to physical, emotional, and spiritual sickness today. A lot of people, the reason why they're sick emotionally, physically, is because they have run themselves dry. They're so busy doing so many things. John Mark Comer, in his helpful book on rest, he refers to this as hurry sickness. And I dare say many of you are suffering from a case of hurry sickness today. And many people mistakenly believe that they can somehow alleviate the busyness of their lives by simply doing nothing, right? They think that, well, if I can just sit at home and do nothing for a while, then I think I'll get better. It couldn't be farther from the truth. It reminds me of the story I heard from a Peanuts cartoon. Marcy was urgently approaching Patty and Snoopy, who were sitting up on top of Snoopy's doghouse. She comes up to Marcy, or to Patty, and says, "Please come down and let's go to school. If we hurry, we can still make it to second period." And to that, Patty replied and said, "Well, I hate second period. Besides, I've already told you I'm going to sit here with Snoopy for the rest of my life." And then she turned to Snoopy on top of that doghouse, and she went on to say, "We're just going to sit here and bonk each other on the nose for the rest of our lives." Beep. And I hear that story, and I think about the mistake that a lot of us make. We think that if we can just sit around and bonk each other on the nose, then things are going to get better in life. Can I say inactivity is not the answer to your fatigue? Inactivity won't do anything to help you with the struggle that you're facing in your life with your addiction to busyness. You won't find rest in mere inactivity. The only way you're going to find true biblical rest is by making room in your life for the things that are actually important. And I want you to listen to me on this. You imagine it with me. This glass of water represents your life today. It represents your life. And when your glass is filled, or I'll say this, your glass is filled when your life is full of things that really matter. Your tank gets filled by filling your life with things that matter. Things like spending time in God's Word every day and letting God speak to your heart. Things like spending time on a date with your wife. Things like playing a game with your children. Things like working out. Enjoying a hobby that God has given you to enjoy. These things fill you up and they make your life more worth living. They don't drain you. On the other side of the equation is when you spend all your time pleasing everyone else and doing things that don't fill you up, very soon your life begins to become empty. When you're rushing off from one thing to another and trying to make ends meet, a lot of times trying to fulfill the expectations of people that really don't even care about you, really don't even care about your well-being, very soon your life becomes very empty. And for many of us, the reason why we struggle so much during this season is because we get so busy doing things that really don't matter, things that don't build us up on the soul level, that we begin to struggle. And I dare say that if you'd be honest, many of you, where you're at in your life, your tank's not very filled. You've been so busy doing things that don't matter. One of the challenges that I want to give to you as we study this passage of Scripture today is to make some room in your life for Jesus. To make some room in your life for the things that really should matter. You know, you can set the phone aside. You can cancel some appointments. You do have power to change your schedule. You do have the choice as to whether or not you're going to do things during this season that will actually put into your life, or do things during this season that are just going to continue to drain you. The choice is yours. And as we study this passage of Scripture, I want you to think about where you're at today. When you think about the glass of your life, are you full or are you empty? Or perhaps if you even drew a glass on your piece of paper, where would you have to mark where your spiritual tank is today? Because that's what I want you to think about as we study this passage of Scripture together this morning. So how full is your glass? You know, I'll tell you this before we dive into the text. God desires to replenish your spiritual tank every single day. He wants to bring things in your life that will put back into you and that will not drain you. He wants you to run off of the He wants your life to be run off the runoff of Him filling you up to the top. As the Scripture says, "My cup runs over," instead of running from the reserves. He wants to fill you. And in order to find true rest, you're going to have to go to Him to be able to receive it. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, In verse number 28, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what, church?
Rest.
He wants to give you that rest. But if you seek it in other means other than him, you're not going to find true and sustaining rest. Jesus has, in this modern day, not given us a day of rest. He has given us a person of rest. Jesus is our Sabbath. He is the one every single day that we can find rest for our souls in if we would be willing to do so. And so if you think of it with me, on that first Christmas, there were things that were just as urgent in the lives of the people who were there as they are to us today. But the big difference was every person was invited to step away from the busyness of their lives to experience the rest that can only be found in Jesus. And that's what I want to do for you today. I want to invite you to step away from the busyness that has dominated your life and during this Christmas season make the exchange, your hurry for rest in Jesus, your busyness for taking time to be still and know that he is God. Doesn't that sound like a good thing? I dare say we all need to hear the message for the day. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture today, I want you to notice with me five ways you can make room for Jesus during this season. Number one, you can write this down, make room to welcome Jesus. If you're going to make room for Jesus, it starts with you making room to welcome Jesus. Look back at verse number 6 with me in your Bibles. If you're still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Verse number 6, the Bible says this. It says, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. And finish the verse with me. Because there was no room for them in the inn. Though no one else in Bethlehem seemed to have room for Jesus. Thank God there was Mary and there was Joseph and they made room for Jesus. They found a place to welcome Jesus into this world. And I'll say this, too many of us are more like the innkeeper than like Mary and Joseph. We allow our lives to get so filled with things that we have no room for Jesus in our hearts. I don't think it's always intentional. We have to work our jobs. We want to be able to celebrate Christmas with our relatives and to have gifts and to do some of these things. We like to enjoy the festivities and the different things that happen during this season. But before you know it, everything else has become more important than Jesus. Isn't it a sad thing that so often we go through this season and we're so busy that we, honest to goodness, never take one moment to truly and sincerely welcome Jesus into our lives? You say, well, Pastor, I'm here at church, aren't I? Well, that's a good thing. I'm glad you're here. But you can even come to a public assembly in church just because you're supposed to, just because that's always what you do. You understand, on the heart level, it's very easy to get so busy that you are not actually welcoming Jesus as an active presence into your life. And what is appalling to me is how often this does happen, even for people who come to church. You can sing Christmas songs, you can go to Christmas services, and you can have Christmas celebrations and forget the one person who that's supposed to be all about. For instance, there's a lot of people who come to church, and the only thing they think about when they leave is, oh, I didn't like that song. Well, did you see how that person was dressed? You know, when we leave church and that's what's on our mind, I don't think we had our mind on the right thing, do you? It's time for us to give Jesus his rightful place in our life. Are you welcoming Jesus into your life during this season? Now, let me add this in there. Some of you, the reason why there's no place for Jesus in your life is because there's never been a moment when you've invited Jesus into your heart. Some of you, the reason why Jesus isn't an active presence in your life is because your heart is so full of sin. And I don't know where every one of you are at today, but I know that the truth is that all of us have a common problem with sin. The Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin is anything that you think, you say, or you do that breaks God's law, and all of us have sinned. The Bible makes that very clear. If your heart is full of sin, you know you have no place for Jesus in your life. Now, you know about him. Maybe you want him in your life, but in your heart, you know that you are not a good person and that Jesus isn't in your life. And today, I've got good news for you. The reason why Jesus came to this earth was to die for your sins, so that you could be cleansed from all of your sins. He wants to forgive you of your sins. He wants to come into your life. He wants to be present in your life. And the Bible tells us that if you will receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can be forgiven of all your sin and know that when you die, you'll go to heaven to be with Him. Not only that, but at the moment you receive Christ as your Savior, hey, heaven will come to your heart. Jesus comes and lives within you and is present with you. John 1 verse 12 says that as many as receive Jesus, to them He'll give the power to become the sons of God. I want you to listen to me. Has there been a day that you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior? I know there's been a day like that for me. When I was a 9-year-old boy, I was in a church service just like this. And for the first time in my life, my heart was convicted of my sin. And I knew that if I died, I would not go to God. I would be punished for my sin. And on that day, I realized that Jesus could save me. And I walked an aisle, and I bowed on my knees, and I prayed and asked Jesus to be my Savior. And on that day, listen, I got saved. You can be saved today. You can discover the true reason for this season if you will trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I cannot beg you strongly enough, if there's never been a day you've received Christ as your Savior, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the time for you to make that decision. I mean, if you've been coming to this church for years and you think because you come to church that you'll go to heaven, friend, this church can't save you. Those baptism waters can't save you. Your good works can't save you. You say, well, Pastor, my mom said that I was a real good boy and that I'm a Christian and I'm going to heaven. Well, I mean, no discredit to your mom, but your mom can't save you either. Nothing but Jesus can save you. And that's between you and Him. There's got to be a day in your life when you confess your sin that you cannot save yourself and you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So I ask you again, have you welcomed Jesus into your life? One of the ways that you can find rest for your soul is by welcoming Jesus in. If you've never done that, or if you're saved and yet you've still not made time for Jesus, I challenge you to start with that. Welcome Jesus in. Make room to welcome Jesus. Number two, I want you to notice this. Make room for the word of Jesus. Make room for the word of Jesus. Look at verse number 8 with me in the text. Verse number 8, if you're still with me, say amen. Amen. Verse 8, the Bible says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And here we see that on that first Christmas, there were many other people in Bethlehem. The night that Jesus was born, we find it interesting that it was only those shepherds on that solemn hillside that actually heard the word about Jesus from the angels. Make no mistake about it, the word the angels declared to those shepherds was what we often call the gospel. The angel said, I give you good tidings. This is good news. And what was the good news? Well, it was the good news that Jesus Christ, God's Son, had come down to this world to save us from our sins. And on that first Christmas, what we see is some people making time to hear the word of the Lord. Let me give you this application. Another important way you can make room for Jesus this Christmas is by making time to hear what God's word has to say about Jesus. The psalmist said in Psalm 1 and verse 2, that you will be blessed when you find your delight in the law of the Lord and when you meditate on God's word day and night. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You understand? The Bible, the only time the Bible uses the word success is in connection to hearing and meditating on the Word of God. If you want to be successful in life, you need God's Word to be an active part of your life. And one of the best ways that you can get rest for your soul during this busy season is cutting out some of the stuff that you're allowing to dominate your time and taking time to hear God's Word communicated. A couple of practical ways I believe you can do this. First, you can make time to hear God's word corporately. Now, that's what you're doing right now. It's good to come and hear the preaching and the teaching of God's word. And in our church, we have services on Sunday morning. We have a whole different service on Sunday night. And during the winter season, we have a Wednesday night service where we have different electives that are being taught. Now, I will tell you, we are not we're not having it on Christmas, this coming Wednesday, okay? We'll take a break from it there. The point is, we have corporate times. We gather together as the church to hear the Word of God. But not only should you hear the Word of God corporately. Listen, some of you, this is the only time you ever hear the Bible. There's another step you need to take. You need to make time for the Word of God personally. You need to read your Bible. You say, oh, Pastor, I have a hard time understanding the Bible. Well, there's a lot of things you can do to help you. But listen, the only way you're going to get to know the Bible is by starting to read it. And listen, this year I believe I've read through the Bible about 30 times in my lifetime. And I'm thankful for that. Can I say, every time I read it again, I learn something new? And the more you're in the Word, the more familiar you become with it, and God can speak to your heart, such an important thing. Want something that will really fill up your tank. It won't drain you. It'll fill you up when you get God's Word inside of you. And I'll say this as well. If you're going to make time to hear the Word of God, you ought to make time to share the Word of God with your family as well. And I love Christmas season because even people who don't normally have family devotions, oftentimes on Christmas morning, will take a Bible and go to Luke chapter 2 and read the Christmas story with their family. What an important thing that is to do. And as families, can I tell you, that is one of the biggest investments you can make into your family is just taking time to read a devotional or get into the Scriptures every day. The point is, you want to make room for things that matter? Make room to hear the Word of Christ in your life. Here's the third truth I'd say. Make room to worship Jesus. I said first, make room to welcome Jesus. I said second, make room for the Word of Jesus. Number three, make room to worship Jesus. Look at verse 13 with me. The Bible says, you shall find the babe. Verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I like to think of this as the first praise service that ever happened in history. Can you imagine what it would have been like hearing the angelic band get up there and begin to shout out the praise of the newborn king? The first Christmas song that was ever sung was sung on this day right here. And what's interesting to me is that throughout all of Bethlehem, there were only a couple of lowly shepherds who got to attend the first worship service, the first Christmas worship service. But you know what? It filled their soul with wonder. It filled their soul with joy when they heard the praise of the Lord. And I'll say you can make room in your life for Jesus this Christmas by making it a point to worship the Lord. That bothers me. Maybe it's because I'm a musician, but I don't think it's only because of that. It bothers me how much we tend to struggle with truly worshiping Jesus. You know what worship is? Worship is me giving everything that I have to exalt God for everything that He is. Worship, then, is not just coming to church on a Sunday and sitting in your seat and looking at a screen and saying, joy to the world, the Lord is come. That's what some of you look at, look, by the way, okay? If I'm being honest, some of you look like this, all right? But anyways, it doesn't seem like there's very much joy going on, all right? And you know what I'm talking about, Brother John. And it just seems like sometimes we have a struggle with expressing ourselves. And I know some of you aren't as expressive as others, but friend, if you've got a message in your heart, it's going to show up on your face as well. And I want to stir up our church with understanding something. When you finally break through the barrier of worrying about what everybody else thinks and realize that when you worship, you are singing to the audience of one person, and it ain't the person next to you, all right? It's the Lord. The Lord says, make a joyful noise to me. Now, some of you cannot carry a tune in a bucket, okay? It doesn't matter. You can still sing from your heart. You can still give a hearty amen from your heart. You can still, as you sing, even if you don't sing very loud, you can sing allowing the truth to minister to your soul. I'm telling you something. It'll do something for you on a level that if you've never done it before, you won't be able to comprehend if you begin to learn to truly worship the Lord. It's one of the ways that you can fill back up your tank. Something that will truly put back into you if you make the commitment to truly worship the Lord. John 4 and verse 24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Psalm 100 tells us, come before his presence with singing, enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Listen, you cannot come into the presence of God without singing, without thanking God, without worshiping. For many of us, it's been a while since you've truly been in the presence of God. Now, you may have read your Bible, you may have attended church services, but truly dwell in the presence of God. You cannot come before God without a spirit of worship. Can you imagine one day when you go to heaven? Do you think that you'll respond in your time before that those first moments before the Lord the same way that you respond sometimes when you come to a church service on Sunday? I dare say not. Same way you approach your Bible reading on a Monday morning, that's a hard morning, isn't it? See, it'll change your perspective. It'll help you make room in your life for something that's really important if you make the decision to make room to worship Jesus during this season, truly from your heart. Make room to worship Jesus. Number four, write this down. Make room to walk with Jesus. Make room to walk with Jesus. Verse number 15, the Bible says, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now I find this interesting. I'm preaching a message to you about not hurrying, but here we find some shepherds hurrying, okay? The Bible says they came with haste. But where were they going? Help me out. They were going to see Jesus, weren't they? Listen, the most important appointment that you have every single day is not at your job. It's not even your family time. The most important appointment you have every day, the thing that ought to get you up in the morning, is I got to spend some time with Jesus. They came with haste. Once they understood who Jesus was, once they understood why the angels had said that Jesus had come, they came with haste. They wanted to spend some time with Jesus. And I want to challenge you during this season. There may be many things that are going on, but there's not anything that's going on that's more important than the time that you could spend dwelling in the presence of Jesus. You say, Pastor, this is very basic. Oh, yeah, it's very basic. But we struggle with very basic things. We allow our lives to become so dominated with things that rob us of the most important things, that we become more and more drained and empty the longer that we go. The hurry sickness that we all tend to struggle with can rob us of truly taking time to be with Jesus. So let me put it to you this way. I want to challenge you during this Christmas season to be present with Jesus. To be present. You know what I'm talking about when I say be present? Well, it's kind of like sitting in a church service, okay? Sometimes you can be here, but you're not really here, right? You're saying, I hope Pastor finishes soon because I really want to go see the rest of that ball game. You're looking at your phone, right? You're counting how many light bulbs are on the ceiling, right? You're doing anything but being present, being in the moment. In fact, some of you are like, why'd you say that? Now I have to count them, right? We do that with our devotions, too. You wake up in the morning, the TV's on, the cell phone's there, all kinds of things are happening. And you read your Bible and you get done reading and you think, I have no idea what I just read. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's very easy not to be present. This season, I want to challenge you to be present in your time with Jesus. I'll take it a step further. This is aside from the text, but I believe that the Bible teaches this. Can I challenge you to be present with your family too? And it bothers me, and I'm guilty of it. But it bothers me. Sometimes I'll be sitting in a family gathering, and I'll look around the room, and guess what everybody's doing? Looking up at a TV. It's so easy not to be present in the moment with your family. And I'm not very old yet, but the older I get, the more I realize I've only got so much time with my kids in this phase of life that they're in right now. It seems like they're growing up so fast. I want to enjoy Jack's terrible twos, all right? One of you love us so much that you bought my son a drum kit for his birthday. And sometimes I'll be sitting in my living room and all of a sudden, boom, bang, 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 there he goes. He's just going to town. And I think, I'm just, you know what, I don't even care. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm thankful for it. I think that's your fault, Danny. You've influenced him too much, okay? But anyways, I want to enjoy being present with my family. Can I challenge you to do that? Now, some of you ladies, you're so concerned about having all the food right and having all the decorations right and having everything wrapped just the right way and getting all the games planned, and you're so stressed out. Just stop. There's a lot of good things you can do. When it comes to this season, don't let it pass you by because you're trying to do all that stuff that you miss the moments that you get to spend with your family. Be present with Jesus. Be present with your family. Make room to walk with Jesus and to walk with the people that you love. Such an important application for us there. The last truth I'd say is that you need to make room to witness. Make room to witness about Jesus. Those shepherds, as we've seen in weeks past, in verse 17, the Bible says that when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them concerning the shepherd. The shepherds, they couldn't keep their mouth shut. What they had experienced, they had to share with people. And let me just give this practical tidbit to you here. It's so easy to get so busy during this season that you don't actually take time to tell people about what it's all about. Now, some of you, you'll have maybe one or two work days next week. Maybe some of you are going to have to work all week next week. I understand that. My point is, some of you only have a few more days maybe to share with people what Christmas is all about. And some of you have been so busy that you haven't taken time to talk to your coworkers. Maybe invite them to church. Maybe you haven't taken time to witness to that neighbor that God's been convicting your heart about. I need to go talk to them. I need to go tell them about Jesus. And I challenge you not to get so busy that you forget why God left you here. Christian, you understand what I mean? God left you here not to live for yourself. The only reason after we get saved we don't go right to heaven is because God left us here and gave us a great commission to go tell the gospel to every person in this world. And God's placed some people in your life that if you're too busy to witness to them, you have forgotten why God has left you here. It's time for us to get back to our purpose. Now, I don't know what the primary application is for your heart today, but this is what I do know. God is inviting you to give Him your hurry and to receive from Him this rest that only He can bring to you. And I've tried, even as we look at the Christmas story, to show you some ways that you can make room for Jesus in your life, make room for what is important in your family. But as you evaluate your own life today, I ask you again, are you empty? Are you so busy that you're just getting more and more drained? Or are you making time for what's important? That time with the Lord, that time with your family, those things that fill you back up on the soul level. Those are the things I want to challenge you to make time for during this season. And I'll say this, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, if you were to die today, you're not sure that you'd go to heaven. If there's never been a day that you've welcomed Jesus into your heart, will you let today be the day that you come and you trust in Jesus as your Savior? Let's all bow our heads together. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. With no one looking around, we're going to have some quiet moments of invitation right now. Now, as you sit in your seat, I wonder how many of you would say, Pastor Bruce, I know in my heart of hearts that I have trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior. You know that you're saved. You know your sins are forgiven because you've trusted Christ as your Savior. If that's you, would you raise your hand as a testimony of that today? Many hands. Praise God. Wonderful. Now, among you that just raised your hands, you know Christ as your Savior, but you say, Pastor, I've been so busy that I've been neglecting some things that are important in my life. And God has spoken to my heart. Will you pray for me? I got some decisions I need to make. I've got some things I need to move around to make room for what's really important in my life. Now, if that's you, would you raise your hand as an honest testimony of that? Thank you for your honesty. I'll pray for you in just a moment. You can put your hands back down. Last question I'll ask is this. How many of you would say, Pastor, As you were talking about welcoming Jesus into your life, I realized I've never had a moment when I've done that. Never had a moment when I've truly trusted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I've known about Him, but I don't know that I've ever truly trusted Christ as my Savior. And God is convicting my heart about that. Will you please pray for me? If that's you, would you raise your hand as a testimony? Pastor Bruce, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure if I were to die today that I would go to heaven. Please pray for me about that. I see your hand. Anyone else? You say, Pastor Bruce, that's me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Very good. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I invite you to stand with me as we pray for this invitation.